Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
You've reached the Every Little Thing helpline. Please leave your message after the beep.
Flora, you are possibly going to answer a question that I've had for 37 years. I am a twin. I have a twin sister. We're identical, and our bond is very unique. But what I want to know about twins is this. Communication. I mean, technically, she is the first person that I met. I want to know, do twins have their own language? And were we communicating as early as our time together in the womb? Like, you know, how dolphins have a language and they pick up with the vibrations and echoes. Maybe I'm going too far with this. Thank you. I hope you can answer my question, and bye.
Hello?
Hey, Kelly, it's Flora from Every Little Twin Thing. Twin. Every little thing.
Hi, Flora.
It sounds like this is a 37-year-old burning question.
Seriously, it's like something that I've always wanted to talk about.
What's your twin's name?
Her name is Christina.
I'd love to hear from your sister, too. You think we can call her up?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, so here we go.
Hello.
Hey, Chris.
This is Flora from ELT. I'm also here.
Hi.
You're coming through a little low. Will you guys just chat a little bit with each other? Your normal twin speak.
Hi, Kelly.
What are you doing? What's up?
Nothing. Did I clean the liver in to your liking today?
No, you did not, but it's fine.
Is one of you like a neat twin and the other a messier twin?
I'll let her answer that, Chris.
Absolutely. The thing is, we are obviously both Virgos, and I'm not sure if you know much about Virgos, but we're considered perfectionists. So I'm a perfectionist when it comes to like art and like clothing and things like that. My sister is a perfectionist when it comes to like how tidy she keeps things.
Do you agree, Kelly?
Yes, I have to beg her to pick up her pins from sewing because I've been stepping on them since we were children.
37 years of pain.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so Kelly, you called about whether you and Christina had a secret language when you were babies.
Yes, like I want to know, what is that time like inside of the womb? Like, what were we doing? Did we communicate? Like, did we even know that the other one was in there and it existed? Like, could she tap and I would understand, like, was it Morse code or what is it when dolphins, what is that called?
Echolocation.
Echolocation. There you go.
I love your dolphin theory.
Yeah, I want to know. I was 3 pounds heavier, so did we fight about that?
Get out of the way.
Yeah, right, or it's my turn.
Let's get our expert on the line. We have twin researcher and twinnovator Nancy Siegel. In addition to her own twin experiments, Nancy has written 6 books on twins. Let's call her up. Where are you, Nancy?
Please don't do this to me, Nancy. I'm on the edge of my seat.
This was all just a big joke. We're not actually going to answer your burning question of 37 years.
Don't. Flora.
Hello.
You're here. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, Flora.
Nancy, I have some twins on the line who have some burning questions for you.
Wonderful.
Kelly and Christina, will you introduce yourselves and tell us how we can tell you apart?
This is Christina speaking. I'm usually, I would say, the more dominant twin because, of course, 60 seconds older means, like, everything in the world. So I'm usually like, hi, yeah. I'm Christina, and this is my twin sister, Kelly.
I'll let her take the lead.
Nancy, tell us about twin communication in the womb.
What was that time like?
Yeah, well, there might have been physical contact. I know that some identical twins even suck each other's thumbs.
Ew.
Some of them kiss, some of them punch each other, some of them caress. But whether or not that translates into a relationship out of the womb is really uncertain. I know there are some people that think it might, but the brain is not advanced to the point where those kinds of interactions would be meaningful once you're born.
That's such a bummer.
What about the thumb sucking? That sounds very intimate, Nancy.
It does.
Well, it probably is, but you've got to remember that these are fetuses who are not sentient human beings. And so the fact that there's a thumb in their mouth may have very little significance. Maybe at some level there is some dim awareness of another being next to you, but that is really speculative at this point.
What about after twins are born? You hear about twins speak or twins having this sort of secret language. Is there anything to that?
Well, yes, there is. When you place two infants in close proximity, they will tend to babble at each other, but this will happen even with non-twins if they're put in close proximity.
Kelly, do your parents remember you two babbling to each other?
Yes. Our cribs were on the opposite sides of the room, and they used to say that one of us would just speak gibberish and act and do something silly, and the other one would fall out laughing and then stand up and then do something completely different, and that would cause her to start laughing, and they would just sit there and say, like, what the F are they? What is going on? And I could see that being creepy. I would think it was creepy because you can't say, like, hey, what are you doing? What are you talking about?
That sounds very typical for twins. Now, the advantage to parents is that twins are each other's entertainers, each other's babysitters, so to speak.
So is twin speak real? Do they develop a language?
Yeah, well, I mean, we have to define very carefully what we mean by twin speak. I know that a lot of identical twins and some fraternals will talk about a private language, certain gestures that they perform that other people do not understand. And so that would fall very broadly under the category of twin speak. But in terms of any real language that they're developing, I would say that doesn't happen. But we do know that language development between twins tends to be somewhat delayed relative to non-twins because they engage in these private systems of communication.
Oh, so that's interesting. So it's not exactly a language, but they do have their own secret communication channel.
Yeah, it's kind of like best friends have private jokes or couples have private jokes, that sort of thing, where sometimes just a glance of the eye will convey a whole world of meaning.
Christina, do you and Kelly have coded language now? Can you set each other off with a look or a one or two words?
We definitely can. Like, it's so interesting because, you know, I've had, you know, certain traumatic things happen to me, you know, just life experiences, and my sister somehow, some way, will feel it, and she's literally not even in the same state. You know, and you hear about all the typical things, like finishing each other's sentences and saying things at the same time and the same, like, cadence. Like, we do that incessantly.
The point you raise about finishing each other's sentences, that's rather common in identical twins because they tend to think so much alike and they have a good sense of how the other one is thinking. But I would caution you about any kind of knowledge of what the other one is doing when you're not together.
Twin lepathy?
Yeah, see, I am very much against that. It is not a proven concept, and the scientific evidence shows that identical twins are genetically predisposed to show similar mental abilities, similar feelings, similar interpretations, information processing. And so what might appear to be an ESP-like behavior is really not. Now, we have to stay open to phenomena, as I said, as scientists. But so far, I think it's not a proven concept.
Well, I like that. We'll keep an open mind.
I'd like to think that we're the phenomenon.
Yeah, there you go. We've got some data for you, Dr. Siegel.
Yeah, well, that's great. I'm always interested in new and interesting data.
Are you actually a twin, Nancy?
Yes, I am, actually. I'm a fraternal same-sex twin.
Oh, awesome.
I have a sister. We are very, very different, and it was always our differences that fascinated me, which drove me into twin research and addressing various nature-nurture questions.
Kelly Christina, anything else you want to ask Nancy while you have her on the line?
I am strongly, this is Christina, I'm strongly interested in knowing how to navigate twin and dating.
Because
I've often found myself in a very awkward place with my sister and some of her mates.
What do you mean awkward?
They don't get along, but it could be just because I date bozos, so.
And it hasn't been, you know, every single.
I would say 70%.
Yeah, I want to know, like, is there a certain protocol? Is there a book I can read?
Nancy, do you have some dating advice?
Yeah, well, one thing that's rather fascinating is that the husbands and wives of identical twins seem to be quite different. And so twins don't always see eye to eye when it comes to potential dating partners. They are protective of one another. I get the sense that that's going on here, too.
Yes. She's very overprotective.
Yeah, very overprotective of my sister, I feel.
But it feels like she's fiercely loyal. So she obviously has, like, my best interests at heart. And it can get a little muddy. But you have saved me from making a lot of mistakes.
I'm so sorry, guys. I have to.
You gotta go?
We're going to sit.
Thank you so much for making time for this. Have a great day, and we'll keep you posted.
Okay, you too.
Kelly, anything you want to say about Christina now that she's off the line?
Thank you for doing this for me, and I love you, and Taco Tuesday on me.
Don't go away. We are tackling your burning twin questions and some twinspiracies after the break.
Life is a highway. And on it, there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Nancy, our listeners had a ton of burning questions about twins. Can I run a few more by you?
Why not?
First one comes from right down the hall at Gimlet. Reply All listeners might know Fia Bennin. She is the senior producer of that show and a parent of identical twins who had no twins in her family or in her partner's family. So I'll play you a little bit of our conversation.
I think I'm going to ask you an impossible question, but I'd so like it if you could solve it, which is, why did I have twins? That's what I want to know.
In a happy way?
Yes, I mean, in a curious way. Maybe a little bit like, how did I have twins?
Nancy, what would you say to Fia?
So it used to be thought that for identical twins, it did not run in families and it was just simply a random event. Now there is some thinking based on new data that within some families, there's a genetic influence on splitting of the fertilized egg. Now, you say that in your family, there have been no identical twins on either side. So maybe you're just the random event that happened. But I know it's not a completely satisfactory answer because what caused that fertilized egg to divide? And there are a number of theories floating out there, but we really don't know what causes it.
I want to make sure I have my terms right. So identical twins occur when the fertilized egg splits, and fraternal
That's
twins
right.
happens when you have two different eggs and two different sperm?
Exactly.
Okay, so relatedly, we got this question from a son of twins who's married to a daughter of twins, and he's wondering about his chances of having twins.
I'm not a twin, but my father is a twin, Don, and his sister, Donna. And my wife's mother is also a twin, Terry, and her sister, Jerry. Names aside, we are concerned about the myth that twins skip a generation, which means that when Nicole and I eventually have a family, we're going to absolutely have twins. We want to know if this is true.
You will not absolutely have twins, no.
What are the factors that make you most likely to have twins?
So it seems like it runs more on the mother's side than the father's side, but I don't discount the father's side either. Fraternal twinning does have a larger genetic component than identical twinning does. Fraternal twinning is more common to older mothers because in some ways it's actually a reproductive mistake to release two eggs at the same time. Now, it's interesting, in the Yoruba tribe in Western Africa, they have an unusually high twinning rate there. And some people there link it to the frequent eating of a white yam. And I think there is some evidence of that.
The yam causes twins?
A yam, but only a white yam. But there may be some unusual genetic or hormonal background to these women so that it's not just the yam alone. So if you want to have twins, I wouldn't suggest you go out and start eating sweet potatoes.
Wham, bam, thank you, yams.
Well, I guess that could be an interesting slogan, too.
What about fertility treatments? How has that affected twin rates?
Yeah, fertility treatments have really raised the twinning rate dramatically because with in vitro fertilization, there is a higher chance of both fraternal and identical twins. With fraternal twins, it's because you implant multiple embryos usually. But with identical twinning, it seems that micromanipulating the egg might increase the chances of splitting of the fertilized egg.
Although we don't know why.
We don't exactly know why, no. And that's, you know, one of the things we'd like to crack.
What about judgment about twins? I've heard that sort of the judgment about twins has changed with fertility treatments. People will be like, are they real twins or are they fertility treatment twins?
Yeah, I think that that's really not an appropriate way of thinking about twins. Of course, they're real twins. For example, in vitro fertilization gives rise to single babies, too. And no one asks, are they real babies or not? So, of course, they're real twins. And I think to suggest otherwise is completely inappropriate and maybe even borders on insulting.
Next question comes from listener Mariah.
My mom is a twin, and I have always wondered if a DNA test was done on my mom and her identical twin sister and me, am I as related to my mother as I am to her twin sister?
Great question, Mariah. And the answer to that is basically yes. In fact, your aunt, your mother's sister, is not just your aunt, but she's your genetic mother. Now, having said that, people do occasionally have mutations, and it is possible that your mom could have passed one of these on to you that her twin sister would not have. But overall, you are equally related to your mom and to your mom's twin sister.
And does that mean that if her mom's sister had kids, that those cousins would actually be like half siblings?
That's exactly right. They'd be half siblings. And it also means that if identical twins marry identical twins, all the parents are not just the aunts and uncles, but they're the genetically based parents to the nieces and nephews, and the children are all genetic equivalents to full siblings. I actually studied a set of identical twins who married identical twins, and the women gave birth on the same day. So those children were kind of like genetic fraternal twins.
Oh my God.
Very rare.
That's amazing.
It certainly is.
The case studies are so fun to think about.
They really are. And the beauty of them is they give you new ways of thinking about things and new testable hypotheses that you can apply in other studies.
Ever the scientist, Dr. Siegel.
Ever the scientist.
Hi, my name is Eli, and I'm wondering if identical twins have the same fingerprints. And along those lines, I'm wondering if they have the same DNA. I know they have the same DNA, but I'm wondering how cops can know that they've got the right twin. Thank you.
Good question there. And no, the fingerprints are not exactly the same. They can be made different from various effects in the uterus, temperature, pressure, amniotic fluid, all kinds of things can make the fingerprints different. So how does the policeman know he's got the right twin? Well, DNA won't tell you, but now it may be possible to look at epigenetic profiles, the genes turning on and off, which ones were expressed, which ones aren't. And that could be the clue that would solve the problem.
Have there been cases of this, of one twin getting like locked up for the other twin's crime?
There have been, actually, and there have been twins who substitute for each other in prison.
So that makes me wonder, how identical are identical twins?
Well, they are pretty identical relative to other kinships, but it's not perfect similarity.
Like, what are some of the differences you've seen?
I've seen different hair colors in one. It wasn't really a major difference in hair color, but it was that one had the sort of brown or blonde patch the other one didn't have. I've seen differences in height, as high as 7 inches, in fact, because one twin did not have good prenatal nutrition. I've seen differences in birthmarks and moles, and I've seen differences in disease prevalence. So you can find these things. But nevertheless, identical twins are still more alike than any other pair of people on the planet.
Yes. I want to dig into this because I think this is what captures people's imagination about twins. Like these eerie similarities that twins have, even when they were raised apart and don't even know each other. You know, not twinlepathy, but coincidences.
You mean coincidences? Well, you see,
or
you can, but I would not call them coincidences. I would call them strikingly scientific data.
Okay, well, let's talk about some of your strikingly scientific data. So you study twins raised apart, and I remember reading about these two guys you studied. They're identical twin men. They met for their first time in their 30s, and they found they had all these very specific things in common, like they had the exact same mustache, they wore the same glasses, they both had their keys on a key ring on their belt loop.
You're talking about Mark and Jerry, the two firemen.
Yes, exactly.
Now, they also used to hold their cans of beer, and they only drank Budweiser. They would hold it with a pinky finger underneath, which was kind of their signature quirk. And that's interesting. We don't know exactly why that happened that way. But what's interesting is when you see something unusual matched in identical twins, it tells you something, gives you an area or a domain where you can start to look for the influence, you know, something genetically influenced. And it's not that they are living together that makes them alike. In fact, we find, this is kind of a counterintuitive finding, but we find that identical twins living apart are as alike in personality as identical twins have always lived together. We also find for identical twins raised apart that they are as alike as the twins raised together, not just in personality, but also in attitudes, in interests. You know, it shocked us that political attitudes and social attitudes had a genetic component because you would think that would come solely from the family. But our reared apart twin research and other twins raised together research suggests that there is a genetic component even to that.
To me, that's fascinating because it suggests that your genes are playing a bigger role in your behavior than I think most people would think.
Well, that's what I think, too. And that's what the data seems to suggest, that genetic influence is pervasive. It influences just about every trait that we can measure.
Hey, ELT, this is Reba. I have been told by a number of different people that left-handed people are twins that absorbed the other in vitro.
So there is a higher incidence of left-handedness among twins for various reasons, but there's no such thing that every left-handed person started out as a twin who absorbed their twin in the uterus. Absolutely not.
Do twins get absorbed by their twin?
It can happen. It's called the vanishing twin syndrome, where a mother is pregnant with a multiple birth, and after a while, the ultrasound is not showing two babies there, and the baby could be absorbed by the mother or by the twin. And sometimes you find that in an adult, they'll present with some sort of a tumor or mass, and it turns out to have been a macerated fetus.
I'm just absorbing that myself.
I understand.
My name is Teresa. My question is, what did people think about twins before they understood that, like, the scientific explanation for twins being twins? Like, was there ever a time where there was hostility or, like, weird magic beliefs about, like, where they came from or what their purpose was?
Interesting question. The answer is yes, there have been times when twins are regarded as something hostile, something evil. But on the other hand, there are societies that really venerate twins, such as Benin, that create little statues to honor twins. And, you know, if you're a twin, it's considered something very, very special. In Japan, it used to be thought of the twinning was like having a litter. And so it was something that was frowned upon and not something that you would advertise. In fact, if there were twins born among the royal families, they would secretly give one away. And that ensured that if the twin they kept died, then they'd have a replacement right there.
Ooh, dark. On that note, one more question.
Hi, ELT team. My name is Tristan. I'm not a twin. I hope to God I never have twins. I just wanted to say I'm really scared of twins. Please tell me why I find twins so creepy and unsettling. Thanks, bye.
Why does Tristan find twins creepy?
I think what it is that we grow up believing and knowing that everyone is an individual and we look and act very, very differently. Individual differences. So when we encounter two people who look and act so much alike, it kind of challenges our belief in how the world should work. And some people may find this closeness that twins convey rather unsettling, a little too much closeness, a little lack of independence. And it is a little off-putting to some people. So I think that's what is driving that feeling that she's expressing. But right now, I think pretty much around the world, there's more of a balanced view. And I think that once mothers get over the shock of being pregnant with more than one, they really rather feel special and kind of celebrate it. And it is something to be celebrated because it is something unique, and twins do have special bonds, particularly the identicals.
Dr. Siegel, thanks for tackling our listeners' questions.
You're more than welcome. My pleasure.
And thanks to all the listeners who called in with twinqueries. 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 It's the end of the year, and we are looking for your burning follow-up questions. Was there a stone we left unturned in one of our episodes? A flamingo fact that demands further examination? A postage stamp question that's stuck in your mind? Or just a listener or a guest you wanted to hear more from? Call us and tell us the name of the episode and the thing you're still dying to know. 833-RING-ELT. That's 833-RING-ELT.
Every Little Thing is produced by Emily Foreman, Gabby Bolgarelli, Phoebe Flanagan, Annette Heist, and Flora Lichtman, with help from Doug Barron, Nicole Pasulka, Barack Wright, and Annie Chelsea. Our consulting editors are Caitlin Kenny and Jorge Just. Scored and mixed by Dara Hirsch. I absorbed my twin. Goodbye.
Hi, I'm Flora. I think we do have twin names because my name is Flora too, but did I say I love you? I love you, and I like hearing your name and your show. It's a podcast. So, you know, I'm so happy you talk to other people. And it's so fun. I like your jokes that you have for your friends. I'm in kindergarten. I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye. I'll call you tomorrow.